our highest motive.
My dearly beloved in the Lord, we're pleased to be with you here at Convention in Phoenix. This is the second day of 1960. I'm sure we're all pleased to greet one another and to have fellowship and association with one another. Does this new year find us still holding firm to the truth? Do we still believe in present truth? Do we still believe the harvest message? And I'm sure that we all believe in the harvest message. You remember the prophet Isaiah said, "Watchman, what of the night? The morning cometh and the night also." As students of the Bible, we understand this night. It has been a night for more than 6,000 years, and darkness still covers the earth. But the morning has been dawning for you and I. We're in the morning. The morning of the new day. It is because we've given our hearts to the Lord. It is because we've made a full unreserved consecration to God. Therefore, to us the morning has been dawning. And we believe that in connection with Revelation, the 16th chapter, as we all understand and know it, you remember how the Revelator said, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth, the dragon out of the mouth, the beast and out of the mouth, the false prophet. And these are spirits of devils working before all the kings of the earth and the whole world." The 15th verse, it says, that applies to us. "Blessed and holy is he. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We often wondered why the Lord put that verse right in the midst of this great conflict that's now in the earth. Watching and keeping our garments, lest we walk naked and others see our shame. Friends, this is one positive proof that the church is still here. Some of them on this side of the veil. Otherwise, that scripture would never have been put there. Right in the midst of the great conflict that we see in the earth today, the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet, and he gathered them together in the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. But right in the midst of this, blessed is he that watcheth. Who? Ah, the consecrated. The Lord's people are still some here. Don't let anyone tell you they're all gone. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see a shame. It would mean to deny the truth, friends. Then we would be naked and others would see our shame. Our morning text fits in so beautifully with our thoughts this morning. "Glorify God in your bodies and spirits which are his." 1 Corinthians 6th chapter. I always loved this text because, friends, our highest motive is to follow in the steps of Jesus and to glorify God's holy name. When we turn to the words of our Master, we read John 17:1-2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This was the chief object of our Master. He did this in his pre-human existence, glorified God, his Father. He did this on every occasion, always manifested the Spirit to glorify his Father in heaven. What is our highest motive? Is our highest motive to make a consecration to the Lord? That is merely the beginning. That is merely the beginning, friends. Now we are in the steps of Jesus. And our highest motive then would be to glorify God. Glorify God on every occasion. Oh, how different this is than what we formerly understood and believed. How different this is than the world of mankind and even the Christian world, so called. You and I, friends, as we follow in the steps of Jesus, it should be uppermost in our hearts and minds to bring glory and honor to God. You remember when the adversary took Jesus upon a great and high mountain? Yes, you read in Matthew, the 4th chapter, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. We see that all around about us, the glory of the world. Yes, political glory, financial glory, ecclesiastical glory. But ah, how different that is to us. Now who are striving to earnestly, sincerely glorify God in their bodies and spirits which are His. We've taken the mind of Christ. And this body that you have and this body I have belongs to God. As new creatures in Christ, we must have a body to operate in. And therefore, the Lord says, take care of your body. Glorify God in your body as new creatures. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and spirits which are His. And now, in the beginning of the new year, does it find us doing this very thing, bringing honor and glory to God, the best of our ability? This is pleasing to the Lord, friends. I'm sure you'll agree with me. But think of what the adversary had in mind. Oh, how different this would be. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? And his highest motive is to glorify God. And this should be our highest motive, to glorify God. St. Paul said, the Diaclet rendering, who, though being in God's form, yet he did not meditate a usurpation to be like God. Well, someone else did. The adversary did. He meditated a usurpation to be like God. And this thought, friends, is instilled in the hearts and men, minds of many in the earth today. Not to glorify God, but to glorify self. The adversary earnestly tried to glorify himself. Jesus said in Luke 14:8, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to make the lowest room. Oh, how often that has taken place among the Lord's people. Yes. Humility. Jesus was the personification of humility. He exemplified humility on every occasion. And all that lesson, if we can just learn it, I believe, friends, that all that will uphold the message of truth and stand firmly with this message until the very end will be those that are humble. It's the only class that the Lord will use, as those that are humble. That will be the finale. All the rest will be sifted out. There never was such sifting and sorting and shaking and separating taking place as there is today. Let's keep in mind, friends, that Jesus was humble. And he taught humility. And isn't this a wonderful lesson? When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, make a beeline for the platform. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Take a back seat and stay there. Finally, the Lord will say, go up higher. Then thou shalt have honor with all those that sit at meat with thee. And isn't that true? Oh, when we look back at our experience since 1911, where are they? Where are they? Oh, is there anything grander than true humility? Be ye clothed with humility. Then we can honor and glorify God. And I'm sure you'll agree with me there. He said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think of a high position, friends. A royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. The greatest order in the earth. Oh, my brother used to tell me, why don't you join a certain organization? Mason. Highest order in the earth, he said. The highest order in the earth. Yes, many say that. Why don't you come and join the Knight of Columbus? Highest order in the earth. Ah, friends, they don't know anything about our order. They know nothing about this order, the order of Melchizedek, and after the order of Melchizedek, the highest order in the universe, isn't it? A royal priesthood. It's a holy nation and peculiar people too, that ye should show forth his praises, something to do. Glorify God in your bodies and spirits which are his. Show forth his praises. My praises? No. No, no. The praises of some leader or organization? No. Show forth his praises. And oh, how grand it is to do this. We see it often. Illustrations of it. We hear sisters will tell about their mother and how good a woman she was. And so they'll speak of their daddy and their father, how wonderful men they were, how they taught them to pray and so forth. What are they doing all the time? They're praising their father. They're praising their mother. How can we best praise our Father? By telling others how good He is. Telling others what He intends to do. And how the kingdom will be established in glory and in great power. That would come under service, wouldn't it? But that's a wonderful way to praise God. To tell others how good our Father is. And to think what He's going to do for them and for the entire human family. Yes, brethren, these things are set before us so that we may learn how to glorify God. That is our highest motive. And you know, Jesus said in John 15:8, "And this is my Father glorified, that ye, my followers, my disciples, that ye bear much fruit." Isn't that beautiful? "And this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Fruit of the Spirit. And then, according to our manna text this morning, we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Then we can glorify God. That's right. Jesus said in Matthew 6:2, "When thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee." That was going on back there too, as it is today. "Do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of man." That's why they do it. Seeking the glory of men, are we? Not even among the Bible students, don't do it. No, we want the glory of God. "Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." My, that's wonderful. They have received their reward. They can't expect any other reward. They receive it right along, all the time. That's right. "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." Oh, how different that is. That's between us and the Lord, isn't it? Silently. "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself, God himself, shall reward thee." God is the rewarder, friends. Yes, indeed. There was a time back in the days of Daniel where we have a lesson that teaches something. Daniel, the 4th chapter. Daniel said to the king, I'm not reading it all, or time won't allow that. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High God. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over thee till thou knowest that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And this thing took place. Well, why? Why? Because he didn't give glory to God. Think of what took place back there. He failed to give glory to God, and oh, how many lessons we can find in the Old Testament to prove this. There's one in the New Testament I wish to call to mind. Next, the 12th chapter. O King Herod. And it says in the 21st verse beginning, And upon a set day Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel, and he sat upon the throne, and he made a great oration to the people. And the people gave a shout and said, It is the voice of God. It is not the voice of man, but the voice of God. And something took place. Why? Because they didn't give glory to God. Immediately, an angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God. Smote him. What happened with him? And he gave up the ghost. Mistranslation. He didn't have a ghost, did he? No, but he died immediately. And the worms eat him up. That's what your Bible says. Because he didn't give glory to God. What a picture here for us. But the word of God grew and grew and multiplied. And if we do not give glory to God, the word of God will grow anyway. It'll keep on going and they won't miss us. And if we pass off in the scene, they won't miss us. But the word of God is going to keep right on. Keep right on. The silver trumpet is sounding. And that's the Jubilee trumpet. And that's the last trump. And that's the trump of God. And you know it. Every Bible student knows it. That trump of God is going to sound for 1,000 years. And it's getting louder and louder and louder. And the people are clamoring, clamoring for liberty, freedom, and justice. Everywhere down in India, darkest Asia and darkest Africa, looking at. Read about Africa and see how the people are clamoring for freedom. Why? The Jubilee trumpet is sounding. Are we sounding it forth? If we're not sounding it, the Lord will raise up the very stones to sound. It must sound throughout the earth. Justice, freedom, and liberty. And the last messenger, the seventh messenger, was a Laodicean messenger. And he began to sound that trumpet. And finally it came to you. And finally it came to me. I've been trying to sound that trumpet ever since. That's right. You know, friends, there's some beautiful thoughts in connection with this. I'm turning to Psalms 36, 63rd Psalm, a few verses, the first verse beginning. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Yes, early in the dawning of the new day, the Lord's people are seeking Him. Because they truthfully can say, O God, Thou art my God. When you woke up this morning, did you lift up your countenance to the Lord and say, O God, Thou art my God? Do that. Do that in the morning. It'll be pleasing to God. Early will I seek Thee, even early in the natural day. But as the Lord's people were sounding forth the trumpet, and when we open our eyes in the morning, let us together lift up the voice. Together, they magnify the name of the Lord. Together, they lift up the voice. And together they sing. The Jubilee trumpet is sounding. Oh, the kings have had their day. Yes, all of them. The beef king, the sugar king, the oil king, the political king, the stove steel king, the coal king, the whiskey king. They all had their day. Rapidly come to an end. But you and I, friends, have that privilege early to seek the Lord. And it says, "And my soul thirsteth for thee." My very inmost being thirsts for the Lord. My flesh longeth for thee in the dry land where no water is, not much water, friends, in the earth. Water is a symbol of truth, not much truth. There's where we live. Now. And then he quickly said, "To see thy power and thy glory." How have you seen his glory? We can glorify God in our bodies and spirits which are his because we saw his glory. Where did you see it? In the most holy of the tabernacle, in the tabernacle. Well, have you ever been in there? We dwell in the holy. We dwell in the holy, friends. And by the eye of faith we could see what's beyond that veil. It's the glory of God. The Shekinah glory. That glory shone right between the two cherubims, which represented love and power, right down on the mercy seat, representing God's justice. And the Shekinah glory represent God's presence. The four attributes of God. Have you seen it? You lift up your eyes in the morning, lift up your countenance, and say, "O God, thou art my God." You could take yourself right in there, in the most holy. That's how we become acquainted with him. That's how I was introduced to God by our dear brother Russell in 1911 in Mountain Lake Park, Maryland. He took me into the holy, the most holy, and introduced me to God, his justice, wisdom, love and power, and that Shekinah glory. Now glorify God in your bodies. Then he quickly said, "To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee." Positive. We have seen him. And we do see him by the eye of faith, right? "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Glorify his name. God's loving kindness to us is better than life. What life? The life that the human family live? No. Listen to that harangue. But the life that the human family will receive at the expirations of the time, the restitution, the end of the age. When God pronounces eternal life upon the human family. But God's loving kindness to us now is better than that life that the human family will receive at the end of the millennium. Is it better to you? It should be. This morning, think, you have the privilege of glorifying God. And then think what it'll mean to be with him. See him as he is and share his glory. That's what it means. Therefore, we can truthfully say to us, God's loving kindness to us is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise thee. How? Glorify God. That's our highest motive in life, is to glorify God. "Thus will I bless thee while I live," right here on this side of the earth, or this side of the veil. "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name," Psalm 63:1-4. My time is almost up. Another beautiful lesson back there with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, cast in the fiery furnace. You ever think of it? And when that old king looked down in that furnace and he saw four instead of three, he had ordered three, someone was going to lose their head. Where'd the fourth one come? They had to bear orders back there to die. But the fourth was there. And that old heathen king said something. Where did he get it? By inspiration for you and for me, for our benefit. Well, what was it? That old king said, didn't we cast three in the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Yes, O king, live forever. Three. Behold, something great, something spectacular, something outstanding, something aspiring has taken place. What is it? Behold, I see the fourth. Who was the fourth? And that old heathen king didn't know what he was talking about. It was put there by inspiration. He said, I see the fourth, one like another, the Son of God. He didn't know anything about the Son of God. Even the Israelites didn't know anything about the Son of God, only as they prophesied about the Messiah. He said, I see the fourth one like another, the Son of God, in their midst, in that fire. And he's right in our midst, in all this fire. As you heard from this platform, think it not strange, the fiery trials that should be among you and so forth. He's with us. Who? The fourth. Who is the fourth? It's Parousia. The Son of God. One of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. In the Old Testament to prove the Son of God would be with us down here in the fire. And one more scripture I want to give you. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat, or whether therefore ye drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. My, that's a big order, isn't it? Therefore, our motive in life, in our consecrated life, should be to glorify God. Whatsoever thou doest, whatsoever. I never forget that scripture. Remember way back when the truth came to me and I'd sit up at night, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, reading the volumes, eating them up. Had a large Morris chair I'd sit in. Turn on the light. And of course, when I began, you know, I was smoking about 9 stogies a day. You know what the Pittsburgh stogies are? Strong as a mule. And you know, this scripture came before me. I think it was in the second volume. And when I looked it over, I read it again. I'd get up and wash my face and eyes with cold water so I could read a little more. Whatsoever thou doest. And what are you doing? There was a stogie and there was the matches. And I never smoked another one after that. Had no trouble at all. Just quit. Whatsoever thou doest. Even these little things. Whatsoever thou doest. Whether you eat or whether you drink. Do to the glory of God. Big order. Now for 1916. For 1960. I said that too in 1916 from the platform. Brethren, let us together in this bond of love and unity of faith continue to blow the silver trumpet. One of these days it's going to be over with, all of it. Then perhaps, and no doubt it'll be that way, some will seek death and can't find it. Sacrificial death will all be over with. They won't be able to find it. Perhaps the great company too will seek it, but it's over with. Let us glorify God.